disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, folks. Thanks for joining us today. I got a confession I got to make to you, man. I got so much stuff I want to talk about. It's like I was up early this morning. I mean, I get up early, but I was up early this morning. And somebody else was up early on Facebook. I posted something on Facebook about 4:20, I think it was. I don't know what it was. Somebody said, man, you're up early. Of course, they're up early, too, because they're reading it, right? I said, are you kidding me? I sleep fast, baby. I sleep fast. You ever heard anybody that eats fast? You seen them eat fast? I sleep fast. I sleep hard and fast. When I get up, I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to roll this morning. Sarge gave me a hard time because he said I'm in my power red. That's just by under the unction of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be on Hagman and Hagman tonight. Don't say that to brag. I say that to just let you know that what we're doing is having an impact. And Doug, as you know, joined us yesterday almost by accident. He didn't even realize what he was doing. He logged on, all of a sudden he was in there with us. And I just sense a kindred spirit there. I don't even know Dave Hodges, the Common Sense Show. I don't know if you guys know Dave Hodges or not. Know of him. I feel kindred spirit with him. Many others that are out there. We have to become unified in this fight that we're fighting. We have to. And we're not very unified, actually. In fact, in much of the media, you go to the talk radio crowd, whoever they are, let's throw them out, Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, who am I forgetting, Laura Ingraham, Dennis Prager, I could go on, there's Mike Gallagher. You know, they don't play together at all. You know, there is no unified effort on our side at all. Now, I want to take you back to something, too, because remember, Scriptures tells us right here, Psalm 1. I got it open to Psalm 1 right now. Jared, maybe we ought to go there right now because this is part of our problem. In my not so humble opinion, this is the genesis, that means beginning, of our problem. And isn't it amazing? It's clearly spelled out in the first Psalm. First Psalm, and what does it say? Here's where we are. This is America. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. How many of us are walking in the counsel of the ungodly? How many of you get up and listen to Rush? Sorry, I don't think Rush is a saved man. How many get up and listen to Bill O'Reilly? Sorry, I don't think he's a saved man. How many of you listen to Sean Hannity? Sorry, I don't think he's a saved man. He's a religious man, a Catholic. I don't think he's a saved man. Michael Savage, clearly not a saved man. Sorry. Who am I leaving off the list? Dennis Prager? Not a saved man. I'm sorry, he's not a saved man. He's not. Hugh Hewitt? I mean, I could go on and on and on. That we would begin to understand. I'm a little frustrated because I get emails from people who say, golly, Coach, where have you been? Where has this thing been? And I get frustrated because our Christian radio stations, the talkers on our Christian radio stations, for the most part, aren't saved men. I'm talking about Salem Communications. They have their morning talk lineup is Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt. What's that other guy named? Michael Medved. I don't think any of them are saved men on a Christian radio station. That's a talking lineup. And the psalm is very, very clear to us. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And we better realize that a lot of the stuff that we're hearing and a lot of stuff that we're following is not godly counsel. We are not receiving counsel from godly people, from saved Christian people, from people who are in the Lord's kingdom. We are not, folks. We're not. And that's why they've moved us off of conservatism. I'm sorry, Christianity to conservatism. That's why Christianity has become a block, a segment, if you will, of conservatism. We're part of the conservative movement. Well, Christianity ain't part of a conservative movement. Christianity is a kingdom mentality. Christianity is a come out from among ye and be ye separate mentality. Yet you tune into your local Christian radio station, and you either get blabbering pastors preaching sermons or unsaved men giving you their opinion on conservatism. Give me a thumbs up. Is that happening anywhere? Kevin, is that happening up in where you are in Maine? Is that what our radio is becoming? And so therefore we're shocked. We are shocked and surprised when these great conservative men make it to Washington, D.C. And as I pointed out the other day, they don't speak the truth to Donald Trump. Why? Because they're conservatives. They're Christian conservatives. Or at least they're not liberal Christians. See, the term Christian doesn't really mean a whole lot anymore. And I wonder, I heard Rush Limbaugh say the other day, I listened to Rush. Can I tell you why I listened to him? Because he has a bead on where that conservative movement's gone. I listened to Rush with a jaundiced ear. In a lot of ways, I see him as complicit in this conservative blanket that's laying over the top of it. In fact, he's the man behind the curtain, in my humble opinion. He makes $50 million a year, I think. How risky are you going to be making $50 million? Glenn Beck, remember what he used to be? Remember how he started out? Now he's just Mr. Cry. Now he's just Mr. Divide. Folks, I know there's Glenn Beck fans out there. Listen to me. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll do it. Mormons aren't saved. Okay? You can't take Mormonism and add Jesus to it and say you're saved. See, we are in America. We are so confused that if you ask the average person, what religion are you? They will give you the denomination. They will identify as a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Methodist or a non-denominational or whatever. And Glenn Beck identifies as a Mormon Christian or Christian Mormon. Wonder what Jesus thinks about that. And yet, what are the airwaves filled with? These conservative talkers who are not born again. And JR, you know firsthand the struggles I've had trying to get on Christian radio here in Ohio. It's like going and talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I just want to come on and do. Can you imagine? Do you think there's a couple million people in metropolitan Columbus, Ohio area? If I could go on local terrestrial TV, terrestrial radio, on the dial radio in your car, you don't think there's Christians out there that would like to hear what we talk about here today? But the gatekeepers stand there and they won't let it happen. They won't let it. That's what the scriptures tell us, that your enemies will be those of your own household. The pastors in the pulpit don't like the message that we bring. The Christian radio doesn't like the message that we bring. And one of the reasons neither one of them like the message that we bring is because we indict the pastors and the lousy job that they're doing. Now, you turn on ESPN and they're constantly criticizing coaches. Constantly. There's all these talk shows on ESPN, and they're all about this coach and that coach, and should have done this, and he should have done this, and he didn't do this, and he didn't do this. Boy, if you talk about a pastors in general, you know, those of you know, I very, very rarely use a name, a national name I might know, but I would never say something about a local pastor. I never would name him. I would go to him. I would never just name him. But they're above criticism. And then they throw at you, touch not God's anointed. Say, brother, I'm anointed to trouble you. I'm anointed to do what I do. Wake up, dude. Rod, you trying to get in here?
Well, Dave, I think the second trouble is how the advertisers pull out. I think that's where the real issue is developing now. It's not so much don't criticize somebody, although that's big in the Christian market. It's the advertisers. The minute there's anything that's controversial, instead of realizing that 30 to 35% of the population in America is born again, possibly, they just pull out. And that's where the damage is done too, because it is all about money. And you're seeing that even in conservative, the Alex, what's his name or whatever, the advertiser.
Jones, Alex Jones.
Yeah, the advertisers, and I think yesterday Hagman said it, the advertisers pull. And we, the consumer, don't rise up there either and say,
no,
we're not going to buy your stuff if you keep doing this.
Hey, you know, Roger,
Chick-fil-A is a perfect example.
Is there a market for what I do in local radio? Should there be a market for it? Would I find some guys out there in the 2 million population of Columbus, Ohio, that would make it worthwhile for that radio station to carry my program? By the way, we pay for the airtime. Is there a market out there? What do you think, JR? Is there a market out there?
There's definitely a market out there, but like you said, the Pharisees and Sadducees on the church side will stop you.
That's right.
You got the politically correct guys on the other side that won't let you in. I mean, I called into a talk radio show and I flat out asked the host, I said, how many Christian men or women do you have broadcasting on your local station? And there are none.
None.
It's all secular. None. It's all secular humans. They won't let you in. And then when college kids go out and rampage, they only get one side of the story. And that's trying to offer balance.
So if I want to go to secular radio or Christian radio or secular radio, I don't care. If I wanted to do that here in Columbus, Ohio, why can't the management just simply say, listen, pastors, the guy buys his own airtime. We don't censor what people say, and there is an audience for that. But see, they don't want to do that. You know why, Roger? M-O-N-E-Y.
You got a problem?
Money. That's right. So if somebody, Roger Weaver, sponsors my show on local radio, well, churches are going to say, oh, well, don't go to Roger Weaver. He supports that crazy coach. And that's the way the game is played, folks. That's exactly what we're up against. I don't even know how I got rolling on this today, although I think it's really, really germane. It's really germane. I'm going to tell you, the enemy, I'm not patting me on the back or us on the back. The enemy is doing everything he can to prevent this message from going forward. I'm convinced of it. The last thing that the enemy wants is independent thinking Christian men. Somebody give me a thumbs up right there.
Well, and not just that is critical thinking.
Thank you, man.
That's part of it. That's right. You're right.
Critical thinking. That's right. They don't want it. The pastors don't want it, right? They don't want it because it might cause confusion in their pews. As I wrote in my commentary today, pastors don't want to talk about abortion. It's a really good one, by the way. It's on our, Jared will have it on our website. It's at newswithhughes.com. I always think they're good. I entitled Ollie Ollie Oxen Free. And that's a kid playing hide and go seek. That's what you'd say. Ollie Ollie Oxen Free. That means you're hiding good. Come on in. We can't find you. I compared that to the pastors. See, Donald Trump just said, Ollie Ollie Oxen Free. You can now come in. You can come out now, pastors. But they're still not going to, see. They're still not going to. And not only are they not going to, they're not going to let me do it either because I might expose abortion in their pews. Somebody give me a thumbs up on that. I might expose abortion in their pews and women might get set free and delivered from it. I might expose that, see? So,
you're okay on Saturday morning at the men's breakfast.
Yeah, maybe, maybe. Listen, I hope this isn't sounding like poor me, okay? I know that you guys know I don't feel that way. I'm not saying poor me. We're building a great audience here. We're building a great audience of people who are doers of the word. And we're encouraging more and more people to be doers. And that's part of the problem. I got this great email I want to share with you. Some of you guys know Big Mike. Michael Andrews down there in Savannah, Georgia. We were just with him. Hey, Mike, I'm going to share your, I don't know, I'm going to share your email here, Mike.
By the way, it's not just you. It's not just you that they're not letting on.
No, so, no, it's not. There is no local talk radio, unless you want to talk about finances or insurance or what else would it be, Jay? Retirement. You get a retirement show on Easy. Talk about that. Or you could get some time right now in Salem here in Columbus, Ohio. If you want to market vitamins, you could do that. Yeah, they'll sell you time for that. But they ain't gonna sell you time to do what we do. They aren't. Michael Andrews said to me yesterday, just let me throw this up here. Just came this morning, Mike. Bless you, brother. Says at the conference in Texas, Todd and Rich told me about the article written over a year ago, when the bright flash of light marks incredible moment of life begins. Have you guys seen that video when the sperm touches the egg and pew, there's a spark that happens? I should have had that video ready, but I wasn't. Michael says this. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. John 1:9 says, the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1:7 says, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now think about this, folks. Michael, who's a deep thinker, God bless you, Michael. Michael says abortion is killing the light in the womb. It's killing the light in the womb. John 3:19 says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and man loved darkness rather than light. Just as in Acts 9, when Saul was seeking a letter to persecute the light bearers, he came near Damascus and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he heard a voice, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The whole world, through acts like abortion, is persecuting Jesus, the light. We're seeking darkness, calling for Barabbas to be freed. Just like you said the other day, the world has its hooks in all of us in one way or another. Looking on my own life through the eyes of God has given me, I'm nauseous, he says. Fed lies of the world to have bigger, better, and faster, to be put in a situation where we're working our butts off just to remain broke. Somebody give me a thumbs up. In Revelation 18, it says, come out of her, my people. Thinking of a baby before it's born, it's saturated with fluids. It's up its nose. It's in its eyes. It's completely surrounded with the fluid. Well, the world has us completely surrounded. And those being called must come out of the womb in which we are all resting in this Christianity. Come out of that womb. Be separate from the world, doing things, yada, yada, yada. I thought that was a great illustration, man. We are in the comfort of the womb in Christianity. Hey, Jared, Google $3 worth of God. See if you can find that for me real quick, Jared. $3 worth of God. Bless you, Mike. Appreciate it, man. Love you. I tell you, I've met so many good guys, so many guys I love that I just, through what we do. I love these guys. Did you find it? $3 worth of God. I shared it with you before. There it is. Blow that up there so we can read this. This is really what Mike just said to us. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Think about your church. Think about the average Christian you run around with. We'll start again. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. No, I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. That's where most of us are living, see? And I'm struck by what Mike said. Let's come out of that womb, that warmth of the womb. Let's come out of the warmth of the womb and let's get out and let's invade the world and live life and impact the world.
See, Coach, this is Jim. See, the womb is safe.
It is, brother. It is. Safe.
Okay, there's no rejection there. There's no tough decisions there. You lose no friends there. You lose
Amen, brother.
There's no sacrifice there. You're fed.
Amen, brother.
Warm and happy and sitting back doing nothing.
Got that juice up your nose and in your mouth and in your ears, and it all feels good and it's warm and you don't care. You just don't care. And a rebirth causes something to happen. Our buddy Jim just said, touch not my pocketbook. The Bible says that money answers all things. It doesn't say it is the answer to all things, but that it answers all things. For pastors today, money is the answer to all things. And people like you run the money out of the church. It's all about money. Why else would the mark of the beast be about buying and selling? Boy, Jim, it's good insight, man. Ollie in free. Ollie oxen free. You guys, you did that, didn't you? Hide and go seek. I want to read that, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to. I'm in Psalm 2.
Hey, Dave.
Then I want to. Yeah, I knew somebody was itching to say something. Go ahead, Rog.
You talked to me on something, and I think I got the answer. But when you're at these abortion clinics, it sounds to me that the workers that you see at the doors who seem to be so callous and cold, do you ever think they take great joy in destroying God's work, that it's so deep and wretched that it's not about women's rights, but some of these people are so evil that they understand this light issue, they understand what they're destroying is of God, and they take pleasure in it? Is it that bad?
I believe it is. I believe it is, Roger. And a lot of these people are what I proudly, the Bible calls them, by the way, God haters. Scripture says haters of God. And when are we going to wake up and understand that there are people who absolutely hate God, even more, hate Jesus? They hate that name. Now, we can rationalize all we want to say, well, Coach, they've been wounded. They've been mistreated. They've been through a lot in their life. Well, hell yeah, so have I. So have I. I've been mistreated. I've been wounded. I came to the truth. They are rejecting the truth. And it comes back to what I'm always saying, Roger. We don't think God has any enemies. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God's enemies know they're enemies. They know they are. They're purposefully doing what they can to destroy the image of Almighty God. There is no doubt in my mind that some of those people who stand outside those abortion clinics are proudly fighting God. They're doing it on purpose. No doubt in my mind. But just show them the love of Jesus, Coach. Which Jesus and which love? So here's where we are. Why do the heathen rage? Anybody notice they are? If any of you notice, hey, just I'll give a shout out. We got room in the queue. Somebody wants to jump in there. We got a spot. Doesn't happen very often. Go to Coach Dave Live and hit join the huddle. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? What's vain mean? Empty for no purpose. Why are people just living their lives with no purpose? Rich says most pastors commit spiritual abortion on God's newborns each Sunday in those stained glass portraits. Oh, man. Amen, Rich. This is not a pastor-friendly place. The kings of the earth set themselves. So they're kings in the earth, huh? They set themselves, and the rulers of the kings take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Come on, man. Let's just love them, Dave. Just love them, Coach Dave. Well, what does David say? Let us break their bands asunder. He didn't say love them. Give them the four spiritual laws. No, David says, crush those dudes and cast away their cords from us. Get them to stop controlling us, controlling our minds. Why? Because he that sitteth in the heavens is going to laugh. Hey, what's he going to laugh at? What's he going to laugh at, Roger? He's sitting in the heavens and he's going to laugh. What's he laughing at? He's laughing at how they're being crushed under our feet. He's laughing at it. Did you ever watch something? Did you ever watch a bully and somebody pops him in the mouth and you cheer? Yeah, he deserved it. Yeah. Well, I don't mean to pretend to know the mind of God. It seems to me to connect those two verses there. If we break their bands asunder and cast away their cords, he's sitting in the heaven. He's laughing. Yeah, go for it. The Lord's going to have them in derision. They're going to be all confused. And then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, not in his love. They're not sharing the love of Jesus here. And he's going to vex them. That don't sound good. I don't even know what that word means, but it don't sound good. He's going to vex them. And what's he going to vex them with? Sore displeasures. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. I'm reading on down through there. Ask of me, verse 8, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. King James, baby. And the uttermost parts of the earth for your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron, not the four spiritual walls. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Hey, George, is this the love of Jesus here? Am I missing something here? We need to rip this out of the Bible. This has no business being in the Bible. What was David thinking? He must have been PMSing or something when he did that. Yes, George. Hey,
you know, it seems to me that so much of the evil, so much of the bad that's going on, the church is just rolled over, and they've become complacent, and they've just given permission. They've licensed this evil to exist. there's virtually
what?
Outside of the remnant, there's really no resistance anymore.
There is no resistance. You're right. There is no resistance outside the remnant. That's why I wrote the commentary. I don't want to sit here and read my commentary. I'm going to tell you, it's really good. It's really, really good. And I'm tempted even right now to bring it up, but I want to do it. It's worth reading. And it's an indictment again on the church leadership and on the fact that the church leadership are not they're not teaching what we just read. Hey, JR, when's the last time you heard Psalm 2 read in your church? Roger? Last time Psalm 2 was read in your church? Jared just tempted me and threw it up there, so I'm going to have to do it. Sorry, don't like it? Turn off. Come out of hiding, pastors. Trump has set you free. I'll try to read it to you quickly. Glenn's jumping in here real quick. Glenn, God bless you out there in Texas. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Coach. Something I just wanted to say, something you said earlier. You know, I don't listen. You know, when I moved to Texas, we got rid of our TV. We weren't watching it anyway. So I don't listen to the news. I don't listen to O'Reilly. I listen to a few people, namely you, Coach, Rick Wild, maybe Hagman and Hagman. And one thing I heard Rick Wild say a while back. You know, he doesn't do any advertising on his shows. You know, donations and contributions that people make. And he had the same issue where he would, when God laid a message on his heart, he went to churches. Nobody wanted to listen to his message back in 1999. Okay? He started in a garage with his broadcast. What I want to say is that, guys, ladies that are listening to this program, if you'll support Coach Dave, you'll keep the work going. I just want to echo what George said last week. That's how we can do it. It's not going to happen through advertisement. bad. Okay, it's going to happen through God's people.
Amen.
who you know, want to get off their butts and get in the game and make a difference. You know, it blessed my heart to listen to that young Connor the other day. All right, that young 16-year-old. Okay, every church, every adult in church should hear that. That's what we should be doing, what that young man is doing.
Amen. Amen, Glenn. I agree with you. And I'd say to people, I've reached a point, Glenn, I'm not English. Thank you, buddy. I'm not afraid to say it. If you're going to one of those churches and you're giving them money, what the hell's wrong with you? Kevin Bushy put over here definition of vexed. And JR put the same thing up there. Are you two guys living together, JR and Kevin? You both flashed it up there at the same time. Because this is a word that the Lord uses. Vexed means to bring trouble, distress, or agitation. To bring physical distress to a headache vexed him all day. To irritate or annoy. To shake or toss about. JR says, have churches become entertainment centers? Are they being vexed? Is the enemy being vexed? And then Sarge goes down there and says, he looks up dash because he says he's going to dash them like a potter's vessel. Well, vexing is shaking or tossing about, meaning he is going to break them. He's going to break them. Come on, dudes. I don't know if you ever used the phrase ollie ollie oxen free or not. We used to do it when we were kids. It was what we called out when we were playing hide and go seek and realized that one of our friends had hidden himself so well that we couldn't find him. Ollie ollie oxen free meant I surrender, you win, come out of hiding. That's essentially what President Trump did when he issued an executive order in regards to the Johnson Amendment, the 501c3 designation that has muzzled the pulpit since 1954. Someone in authority has let America's pastors know that it's finally okay for them to come out of hiding. Come out wherever you are. Ollie, ollie, oxen free. You've hidden yourself so well that we admit that we don't know where you are. We don't know how to find you. Come out of hiding, pastors. Donald Trump has set you free. Well, I say that tongue in cheek because I'm convinced that there's nothing the president or anyone else can do to conquer cowardice. Most of the men standing in America's pulpits are fearful men. It's not the IRS that has shut their mouths. That's just the excuse they've used. Jesus told us that no man can serve two masters. It's impossible to serve both God and money. Fear and faith cannot abide in the same heart. The scripture says no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You also cannot serve both God and the government. I'm going to let that sink in there a minute. You cannot serve God and the government. In fact, we are warned about that one as well when Paul, the Apostle Paul, declared that we should serve God and not man. But for too long, America's pastors have served in the fear of man. They obeyed the edicts of the government in fear of losing their money. They turned a deaf ear to the cry of the preborn because of fear. Fear that people would leave the church. Fear that abortion would be exposed in their pews. Fear that government would come down because they interfered in politics. Any way you slice it, the pulpits have been muzzled by choice, not by force. I find it somewhat ironic that they now turn to President Trump to free them from the strong arm of government. Help me here. But isn't the law of God above the law of man? Isn't remaining silent on the great issues of the day denying the faith? Don't the scriptures teach that to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin? Isn't rescuing the preborn a good thing? Don't the pastors know it's a good thing? And if they don't know ending abortion is a good thing, what are they doing standing in your pulpit? Ollie, ollie. Oxen free. It's time to find out which pastors have guts and which pastors hide behind their skirts. God specifically states that he hates hands that shed innocent blood. Okay, why don't our pastors hate it as well? Why don't you? I've been reading a lot of criticism of Donald Trump because folks are saying that he's not lived up to his campaign promises. Some of my friends are upset because he's failed to defund Planned Parenthood. Others are upset that he hasn't done more about the homosexual agenda that is steamrolling across America. to be honest, their protestations protesting ring hollow in my ear. Can someone explain to me why Christians would be complaining about President Trump's concern for social issues when the pulpits from which they hear preaching every Sunday have failed to show much concern at all about the same social issues they hope Trump will take care of? Why would anyone expect Donald Trump to care more about the preborn than the average pastor does? I know hundreds of pastors who haven't lifted a finger to stop the funding of Planned Parenthood, yet they continue to criticize the president for his failures to protect their religious liberty. Well, now he has. Olly, olly, oxen free, boys and girls. Time for the pastors to stop camouflaging what they really believe. Donald Trump will not end abortion until he realizes that it matters to the church. And right now, our silence is deafening. Action speaks so much more loudly than words. A couple months ago, Governor Matt Bevin ordered the last remaining abortion clinic in the state to be closed for violating health standards. Of course, as we've come to expect, the federal judge overstepped his authority and issued an order that permits the abortion mill to continue killing little persons made in the image of God. Governor Bevin is probably waiting to see what the reaction of the church is going to be before he makes his next move, just like President Trump. He's waiting to see what the church thinks. What would we expect elected officials to do what God's anointed ministers will not? We know that God, We know that God haters take their faith to the streets, that it always gets the attention of politicians. I wonder what the reaction of Governor Bevin would be if thousands of Christians filled the streets in front of the Killing Center in Louisville and demanded the law simply be enforced. What is the excuse of the pastors? The left is defying the government everywhere you look. If there can be sanctuary cities for illegal immigrants, why can't Louisville's Christians declare that Kentucky is a sanctuary city for the preborn? What if pastors cared enough about abortion to end it? What if they cared enough about it to take the people to the streets? What if God is simply waiting for his people to come out of hiding? What if, with God, all things were still possible? Oligarchy, oxen free. Babies are being murdered. It's time to stop hiding behind the pulpit, because only the church can make America great again. Go ahead, George.
You know, Coach, it's human nature, and most men, women will not refuse a bribe, especially if the bribe is sweet enough. It takes a really strong person submitted to the Holy Spirit to not take a bribe. And let's be honest, the government has given these pastors really sweet bribes, and most of them are falling for the bait, and they're not rejecting it.
No, brother, it's not. Judgment begins first in the house of God, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Okay, that's my rant for the day. But just as I did that one, there was another great one posted today by another writer at News With You. It's called Lee Dwiggin. Lee Dwiggin. It's a good dude, man. He's a good dude. Pull that up there, Jared. He writes tongue-in-cheek. And Lee posted this today. Listen, I hate to read things to you, but I'm going to tell you, some of you won't read it if I don't. He said, liberalism versus truth. He's not as long as me. Here we go. Listen, God defines reality by creating it. Today's liberals define it by denying it. What an opening line. God defines reality by creating it, and the liberals define it by denying it. This beats lying by a country mile. The problem with lying is that it presupposes truth. Getting caught in one lie after another is supposed to hurt your credibility. But leftist projects like global warming, socialism, transgenderism, whatever, they seem to survive repeated exposures as lies and fantasies. How do they do it? If you establish that there is no truth in the first place, then you can get away with anything. Take global warming, better known as climate change, when it happens to be cold outside. We're all going to die, the sales pitch goes, unless we give the government vast new powers and lots of money so they can do whatever they have to do to save the planet. You know the words to the jingle. The science is settled, blah, blah, blah. And you know that the ones who yap the loudest about your common carbon footprint live in mansions, zoom around in private jets and limousines, and leave their own Godzilla-sized carbon footprint everywhere they go. They certainly don't act like they believe in global warming. It's coming. Hang on. They're being caught innumerable times lying, cooking, and suppressing data and threatening the critics. Government agencies like the NOAA and NASA have colluded with them. Democrats want the Attorney General to investigate the hot new crime of, you got it, climate change denial. Meanwhile, in real world, global warming seems to be over. According to the scientists of Danish Meteorology Institute, there has been no warming in the Arctic now for 19 years. The ice is growing thicker and temperatures are dropping. Gee, you'd think these findings would at least kick off a long-delayed debate. Instead, the climate mob just doubles down on its assertions. Leftists never let truth stand in the way of their ideology. That's because their postmodern philosophy teaches that there is no truth. There's only whatever helps you get your way or doesn't help you get your way. Ironic, isn't it? The word philosophy, philio, means love of knowledge. But there's no truth. If there is no truth, then there can be no knowledge. And so we have libs all over the place, from the highest to the lowest, saying what they think they need to say at any moment and expecting us to believe them. Last week, for instance, a news story reported a woman pulled over for drunk driving who was so plastered, in fact, that she dropped the breathalyzer and broke it. What was her excuse? Trump made her do it. Yep. His election just naturally upset her so much that it drove her to drink. Cops didn't buy it, but just about every the cops didn't buy it, but just about any college professor probably would have. We had dirt on Diva Miley Cyrus, who, as a liberal celebrity so often do, promised to leave the U.S. if Trump was elected. Well, she's still here. But all she had to do was change her tune. She's saying she has to stay now because now I have to glue this place back together. Oh, please. There's no truth. How can there be any such thing as hypocrisy? You see, the basis of all this lying and confabulating is religious. Stay with me. We who know our God know him as the God of truth. I am the truth, he said. Our Lord Jesus Christ told Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate, the great pioneer of postmodernism, answered, "Oh yeah, dude, what's the truth?" You see, if there is no truth, then you have a license to crucify a man in whom you admit, "I find no fault." You have the license because you have the power, and that's all it counts. Our modern lefts crucify truth with every word they speak, but the truth will endure and they will not. Amen, Lee. Amen. Somebody jump in here. What time is it? Oh my goodness. I got a list of 40 things to show you guys. Got a list of 40 things. Can I show you something? Are you ready for a laugh? Okay, we're here. Let's have a little chuckle, although it's not funny. You ask yourself, what's that? I didn't. Yes, I did. Yeah, see right here to Jared. I'll forward it again. Let's try it again. Sorry, Jared. I'm sure he did. Don't know what happened. Okay, Jared. Here it comes. So a whole bunch of stuff like we had yesterday. Here's what I want you to pull up, Jared. Pull up Maxine Waters, because this will illustrate exactly what Lee Dwiggin just said, and I'm going to touch another one here. You ready? Maxine Waters is an elected official that represents the black community. Now, JR, I'm not sure, but I would bet Christian blacks voted for this libtard simply because she's one of them, whatever that means. She's one of us, whatever that means. So here she is on a press conference. Just listen to this. Just listen to this. Foolishness. Foolishness. And they're ruling the day. Go ahead, Jared.
No, it's classified and we can't tell you anything. All I can tell you is the FBI director has no credibility.
That was Congresswoman Maxine Waters criticizing now former FBI Director James Comey after a closed briefing on Russia's interference in the U.S. election. It took place just 1 week before the president took office here at the White House. For more, I want to bring in the Congresswoman herself, Maxine Waters, who is joining me now. Congresswoman, we appreciate your time. You obviously have been very
this is a libtard, okay?
In the past.
You this is a libtard.
No credibility. I assume that you support the president's decision then to fire his FBI director.
No, I do not necessarily support the president's decision. If the president had not gone all over the country praising him about the way he handled Hillary and the emails, if the president said he had confidence in him, if the president had not said he was a part of his team.
But Congresswoman, I understand that in the past he was praising him, but if you said that FBI Director James Comey had no credibility, wouldn't you support the fact that the president, then candidate Trump, now President Trump, made the decision to get rid of him?
No, not necessarily. And let me tell you why. You have an investigation going on where the president is implicated, and this is a serious investigation. I've been trying to get people to focus on this connection with the Kremlin and with Putin. I have a resolution that I introduced in February. I think there's enough there that we know about the
what
Kremlin
a demonic
about
fool
Putin, to be concerned about whether or not there was collusion.
So
I
to be
a demonic fool, a lying demon.
They should have to connect the dots and get the facts, because I think it will lead to the impeachment of this president.
So, Congresswoman, respecting that, to be clear, you believe it would have been better to keep in place an FBI director who you said had no credibility to oversee this investigation than to find someone who you think would be a better choice?
No, but I believe the president thought that. Don't forget, you're talking about what some Democrats said, what I said, but don't forget, he was the president. The president supported him. He had confidence in him. It was within his power. And
but you said he had no credibility, so it would seem to make sense that he should get rid of him.
No. Under investigation.
Listen to this.
The president basically has interfered with an investigation where he may be implicated. That's outrageous, and that's why we're having so much of a conversation about it today. Everybody is talking about it because this is highly unusual.
The bottom line is that you think an FBI director without credibility would have been best served in this position
to try to pursue this investigation. I think if the president had fired him when he first came in, he would not have to be in a position now where he's trying to make up a story about why. It does not meet the smell test.
Understood. So if Hillary Clinton had won the White House,
listen to this.
Would you have recommended that she fire FBI Director James Comey?
Well, let me tell you something. If she had won the White House, I believe that given what he did to her and what he tried to do, she should have fired him. Yes.
So she should have fired
him.
You
can just stop right there,
man.
That's enough, Jared. Is this unbelievable? Is this unbelievable? This is what we are living under. And why are we living under this stuff? Because godly men are not being encouraged to occupy until he comes. Godly men are not being encouraged, instructed to occupy these gates where this blabbering fool contradicts herself clearly, so much so that this dude on PMSNBC is calling her out on it. Situational ethics, right? Situational ethics. Yes, Roger. No truth.
This is the evil that you were talking about a little bit yesterday when we are to intervene. This is clearly, if not evil discussion from her, total foolishness. And so are we to stand idly by when there's total foolishness going on in government? I think
not. Ollie, oxen free. Who's going to hold her accountable? If the church, if God-fearing people don't stand up and hold her accountable, JR, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Russia's going to make fun of her, but there ain't going to be any accountability in it. There's no accountability. Why is there no accountability? Because those of us who know the truth and believe the truth don't demand it. We don't demand it. The pastors, what's the scripture say? Our prophets prophesy lies, and the people love it that way. We love being lied to. We love lies. Makes us feel good. I'll call you in the morning. I'll call you in the morning. Checks in the mail. We love them. We love liars. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Coach. You know, yep. What's really frustrating is these people like Maxine Waters, and there's too many to name, but really
demonic.
Deep down, they're cowards. And if godly men would stand up, there's no question they would go into hiding very, very quickly.
Hey, George, you've been doing some work out on the street since you've been watching this program. And you know that to be the truth, don't you, George? When you go out there to that abortion clinic where those God haters are, they cannot answer truth, can they, George?
They can't. No, they're cowards.
Dave, look at Psalms 5. Let me read it for a second. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong.
That's Psalm 5:5, folks. Hang on, Rog. Roger's reading from the Sissy Bible. Please give him some grace here this morning. Go ahead, Psalm 5:5.
The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. This is David. It's prophetic. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men, the Lord abhors.
What?
Unfortunately, within the black community, they will support this foolish woman 80-90%.
But Roger, you tripped right over the bit. You tripped right over it. Wow. Thou shalt destroy them that speak falsehood. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Let me ask you something. If the Lord's abhorring them, what are we doing loving them? Somebody answer that for me. Why are we loving what the Lord abhors? Why are we trying to prop up what the Lord wants to destroy? Come on, church. Listen, just think logically here, will you? Just think logically. And here's what's going to happen to you. If you think logically, you're going to find out that some of the things that the people have told you about the scriptures don't even make sense when put in the light of the day. It doesn't. You can pull a scripture out of context and you can ride to hell and back on that scripture. And just that one scripture, although it is truth, it is only truth in the context in which it was spoken. And we in the church, we love to pull things out of context and make that thing our theology. Well, I'm going to open up a church, and you know what I'm going to, call it, Roger? I'm going to call it the Church of those who abhor the bloody and deceitful man. That's going to be my church. It's going to be my church. Will you come to it, JR? Sarge, would you come down here and go to my church?
Not if you got white robes involved.
Not if you got white robes involved. All right. My. Verse 8, Roger. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make my way straight. It's unbelievable, isn't it? It is absolutely unbelievable. And you know what? I still haven't gotten to God's enemies. That's what I want to talk about. Tomorrow's going to be Friday already. And I still wanted to talk about God's enemies, the ACLU and the God haters and the universities and the connection with all of them. That's what I
bring back. I'll be here.
That's what I want to do. What time we got? Oh, I got 6 minutes. Somebody save me. Somebody save me out there. Somebody save me. No. I'm seeing if it wasn't something else I could put up. Oh, okay. I got something else.
Try to make some
one more thing. One more thing, Jared. This is only 2 minutes long. It says Jake's. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 thing down, Jared. 6 thing down that I sent you. It says Jake's on it. It's 2 minutes. TD Jakes, look at this. Churches have become prostitutes to politics. Now, I want you to know this before I play this. TD Jakes was a solid supporter of Barack Obama. Okay. Mm-hmm. The most pro-abortion, Roger, we can hear you, bud. The most pro-abortion president we've ever had, TD Jakes is a supporter of them and has come out in soft support of homosexual marriage. Okay. TD Jakes. But I want you to listen to this 2 minute segment, Jared. I think you scroll down, or maybe you just click on it. We just passed, I think, Jared. He's in a symposium with a bunch of other churches, okay? And they give him the microphone. Maybe it's down farther, Jared. I want you to hear this 2 minutes of what TD Jakes says about what the government has done to the church. And of course, you know it has to do with money, right? Go ahead, Jared.
Isn't the problem that the church finds is that we find ourselves having to hook our wagon to one political side or the other, when the truth of the matter is we don't totally agree with either side about everything. Isn't that the truth? Right. You know, that's why I thought this conversation would be important to have, because I think one of the things that we end up with debris and contamination is when we attach our identity to either entity and act like this is God's choice for the body of Christ. We have really become prostitutes to politics.
Go ahead, Bishop.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, no, it's the money. It's the money. Is that it? Wow, I thought there was more. There's more to it, Jared. I don't know how I get it.
If you just do the math, if you take the gross national income of all the churches in America, if we didn't pay the mortgage, if we didn't pay the staff, if we didn't pay the light bill, and took all of our money and gave it all away to the poor and became homeless to feed them, we still don't have the money. When we are taking 10% of a few people's income and they're taking 35% of everybody's income, I'd be that gone if I should have to feed everybody by myself. Now, when I did the math on it, I realized that what I am asking the people to do doesn't work. I can help. I can help. Yeah, I can do my part. I can participate. I can join in. But why did you take 40% of my check and then tell me that I got to turn around and take another 10% do what you're not doing? When I gave the 40, I thought you were going to feed somebody. And I think we need to rise up and challenge people.
Come on, Bishop.
Because I switched on that. I used to say that too until I got a calculator. And I added it all up, and I started feeding 100 people myself. And if I fed all 100 people in my zip code, I would have to not pay my staff, and they would be hungry too. So at what point, if you're going to take my money, I don't get to give it. You take it before I ever get to see it. I think you can't have 40% of my check and absolve yourself of the responsibility to help feed my community. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. I don't buy that. I used to buy it. I used to buy it. I used to say it. But when I added it up, it's easy to say that when you live in neighborhoods like we do. But when you actually start feeding them, and don't touch health care, when you start talking about a prescription for blood pressure being $400, $600 for one grandmama who's got 5 different conditions in her body, I don't think the church could do it if we all went bankrupt trying.
Exactly.
Okay, so see, he misses the point, right? What he says is making sense. But the point is, why is the government taking all the money? Why is the government taking all the money? So he's saying, hey, they're taking all the money. Let them do all the feeding. Well, that would be good, except that's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. Will he stand up against his buddy, Barack Obama, and say, cut our taxes? Or are most people on his end of the political spectrum crying for higher taxes? See, we folks, we got a mindset we've got to break. We've got to break this mindset. Government is not God. There is only one God, and his name is Jesus. And if Jesus were to come back into those churches, and those churches were to take Jesus and the fear of God into the communities, we might see behavior change. But as long as we're paying our tithes to the government and expecting them to do the work of the church, is it any wonder we are so screwed up? God bless you, man. Pass the message. Share it. Pass the salt. We'll be here tomorrow, Friday. God bless you. We'll see you then.